Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, July 29th, 2022. Today on The Ether, the exciting conclusion, part two of the two-part Lunk Dao Chronicles. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Manolo.
Hey, we're just waiting for a few people to join. One sec.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh.
Grover, I invited you to be a co-host. Is it not working?
Nope, it's working.
Okay, one other person can be a co-host. You're going to have to compete for it, though.
I don't think that there's anybody putting their hands up to be co-host, but that's completely fine. Co kind of suggests...
I think Anatoly is, maybe.
Yeah, I can do it. Yeah. I got to run a couple of errands, so I'll be driving, so I'm not going to be talking as much, but...
I'd say that actually makes you the worst candidate to be co-host because you won't be able to operate your phone without crashing or risk crashing your car. And I don't want blood on my hands.
I drive very slow because I'm so excited about the bull market coming up. I take no risks of my life.
All right. Co-host it is.
Thank you.
Right. Maybe someone can kick us off. Any kind of sex or dating or relationship questions? It's fair game. Like maybe in your life, you're struggling. You're still a virgin at 25. You want to be losing your virginity soon. Maybe you're wondering how to progress things physically with a girl you've only kissed. Like how do you move from kissing to sex? Or maybe you have other problems. Maybe you're right at the start and you're wondering how to leave your house if you're a recluse.
Yeah, maybe I'll go first. So I often find it's very easy to get women onto a date. Well, at least before I was married, I would find it very easy to get women into a dating scenario. But I always found it very difficult, even though we'd have great conversation, to escalate beyond just having a laugh into that sort of physical realm. So I was wondering if you could give some tips and some advice on how to escalate from making her laugh in a bar setting, to then scoring a goal back at the hotel.
Right. Yeah. So let me clarify here. You're struggling in that you find yourself entering the friend zone, right? You're becoming the guy who entertains her, but doesn't move forward to actually penetrating her. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly right. Before I was married, that's exactly my problem.
Right. So now you're married. You don't have that problem, but you're still rooted in the past. You have a lot of regrets. You're wondering how you could have been better and maybe how you could have married different people and how you could have created more options than the current marriage you currently have. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. I'm rooted in the past. I have massive regrets and I wish that the things could have been different. And I'm sure they could have been, but I thought perhaps you could dig about in the past with me and we could figure out how to change things.
Sure. Okay. Now, one of the first things when you're talking to a woman in a bar or a nightclub is to make physical movements. You must, like, okay. So in terms of a taxonomy of different demographics that relate to your relationship and who you are. I'm sorry, I fell over. Okay, I'm back up. Right, so in terms of demographics, you have to understand that the lover is someone who makes physical contact at all times. They're always touching, they're sucking the nipples, they're touching the throat, they're touching the knees, they're entwining their body with the person, with you, Grover. They're entwining, they're touching, they're tingling, they're licking, they're doing all these things, right? Now, if you want to become a lover, then you have to start touching very, very soon. You have to start, when you're at the bar, touching her arm, touching her breasts, touching her ass, inserting your fingers in her vagina. If you do not do these things, then she will see you as a friend. But more than this, it's a time-saving measure, right? So, for instance, if you are to try and insert your fingers into her vagina after the first 5 minutes, then two things will happen. Either, first option, you will become her lover. She will be receptive to...
Right, is it just me, or is another...
Yeah, I don't hear anything either. I thought it was just me.
All right, that's fine. I was just listening very attentively to...
Well, he's correct. You know, I've had a lot of luck in the past. You know, I'm not married, but I just go on dates a lot using Hinge and Bumble and Tinder. And, you know, I've noticed he's right. I mean, if you're at the bar and you're not putting your hand on her thigh and on her arm, you know, obviously I don't know about slipping it inside of her, but it's going to put you in the friend zone because she's going to see you as not like an alpha, as someone confident, you know. And a lot of these days, you know, women want somebody who's like a dom, who's like a daddy, you know, pays for the drinks, buys them clothes, and pretty much takes care of them. So if you're not going to be that alpha, then she's going to move on. And I think it really starts from the texting. So as soon as you're texting, kind of, you know, just putting that daddy mentality, you know, saying like, yeah, I will take care of you. Where, you know, what's your favorite food? You know, let me buy you some clothes if you're not afraid of spending a little money. But, you know, I can tell right from the text if I'm going to get laid that night. I don't have to wait to get to the bar. You know, it's pretty much I know what's going to happen just from the text messages.
Mm. So there's a line here that was crossed, perhaps, in your opinion, which was you shouldn't insert any digits, you know, any appendages inside the woman that you're dating. You should just keep it like a hand on the thigh. That's kind of like the limit, perhaps.
The bar, yes, at the bar. Just because, you know, I like to kind of keep my options open. So if I see another girl at the bar that's maybe more attractive than the girl I'm on the date with, I don't want her to think anything's too serious with the girl I'm with. So just sticking fingers in at the bar might be, you know, scare other potential dates off for the future, especially if it's like a regular bar you go to.
Hey, sorry, everyone. My phone died.
No problem. We were just debating the line, like where's the physicality line? Is it sticking your fingers inside a woman at the bar? And we decided it probably was, especially if you go there regularly, because if you're there in the same place every week, maybe Friday and Saturday night, and every single week or every time you go, you're fingering a different woman in the same chair.
Wait.
You'll start to get
wait, what are you laughing at?
No, it just makes me laugh to consider that I would ever be in the situation where I'm fingering four women a week in the same chair at the same bar, and perhaps the bartender might start to give me a nickname, like, you know, Fingers or something more creative. And I don't want a nickname.
Like Five Finger Rodney.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be Five Finger Rodney. That's not who I am. That's not the person I want to be or aspire to. 12-year-old Grover
right.
would look into the future and be extremely disappointed with the man.
So let's refocus here in terms of the law of attraction, in terms of the law of resonance. Who do you want to be, if not Five Finger Rodney? Who do you want to be? What is your ideal life in 5 years' time?
Well, I mean, like I said, I've made a commitment to a specific woman. I'm married, happily married, although she is about 500 miles away at the moment. So the marriage is obviously failing. So I think this is probably not the man I need to be or what I would have wanted to be. I would have wanted to be probably... married to a Hollywood supermodel, you know, someone who is in a movie, someone famous, so that I could live without having to work, so they could pay my way for me, and I would just be able to, you know, do chores around the house, minimal amount of work. But then she would be the breadwinner and beautiful as well, like a double whammy, if you understand what I mean. So that would have been inspiring to 12-year-old Grover.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Interesting. When I broke up, I was trying to help you. I was talking about physical escalation. I was talking about the fact that you were in a bar or maybe a nightclub somewhere. And the way to save your time, to be cost efficient, to be time efficient, is to stick your fingers inside her And then two things will happen. The first thing that might happen is that she might reject you directly. She might say, please stop putting your fingers in me. Please retrieve them and go away because I don't see you that way. But the second thing that might happen is she allows your fingers into her. She allows the whole palm, the wrist, the forearm, maybe the upper arm and the upper anterior deltoid into her vagina, right? And in that case, you know that she will sleep with you that night, right? So the way to sleep with women, the way to lose your virginity, is to make sure that you take actions that lead to clear filters, right? So if you do not put your fingers inside her, then she will see you as a friend, because friends do not make body eye contact. They do not make kinesthetic contact, body flesh to flesh. But if you do put your fingers inside her, she is allowed the opportunity to allow even more of your body up her. She is allowed the opportunity to allow your fingers, your wrists, your palm, your forearm, your upper bicep, your anterior deltoids, and eventually your whole body into her.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, I've never been further than the brachialis when I've been sort of putting my arm.
Right.
So this is something that I could work on.
Is the reason you haven't been further than the brachialis, is that due to your own hesitation, your own stifled nature? Or is it due to her really squeezing down on her pelvic floor muscles and preventing you going up? Because when I listen to you, I think it's entirely down to you.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to think it's a combination of both, but I think you're probably right. I think the pelvic floor isn't pushing at all. And I think it's psychological on my part that, you know, I surely can't go further up, but you always can. You know, you can always find more room. And this is why, you know, this is what we train for. So
this is what we train for. This is why we do basic barbell training, 5x5. It's why we squat. It's why we deadlift. It's why we do bent over barbell rows. It's why we do overhead press. It's why we weight our pull-ups. It's for this, right? You cannot say that gravity is stopping you putting your arm up her vagina, right? If you can overhead press 60 kilograms, 100 kilograms eventually, you have more than enough power to insert your arm up her vagina and take it all the way to her womb, and then to climb up there with your whole body and to nestle inside her womb and adopt the fetal position.
Yeah, this is something that I hadn't considered. I think the strength is clearly here. You know, the strength is here, is ready to be used. I mean, this woman weighs no more than 50 kilograms. Let's be honest. You know, if I can't overhead press her from internally, frankly, you know, then something's wrong. I'm not bracing my core, perhaps, you know, I've not got the right foot position. These sort of essential things, squeezing.
If you can do a pull up with if you can do a pull up with at least 20 kilograms more than your body weight, that's more than enough to pull yourself up and inside their womb and to nestle there in the fetal position forever.
I think this is probably where I'm going wrong, because I've never actually considered that as a step. That's not something that's occurred to me as a step that occurs on a date. But apparently this is what I've been missing, and this is where I've been going wrong. Of course, it's too late because I'm married, so I can't go back in time. But if I could go back in time, perhaps I would try and crawl inside the vagina and then pull myself up as forcefully as possible inside.
You're married. You're in a lifetime monogamous partnership, but that doesn't mean that others can't learn from your mistakes, right? There's a saying, you know, either your life has lessons or others can learn of how you lived the wrong life. Now, you've lived the wrong life, so let others learn what you made mistakes in, how you can improve, the ways you fucked up, the ways your stifledness and your anxiety and your hesitation led you to be afraid of crawling up into the vagina as a grown man.
The question I have is, why not do it with your wife? I mean, maybe there's a reason she's 500 miles away because you haven't taken this action yet and done this.
I think so. I think if she was truly in love with him, she wouldn't be 500 miles away. A woman who is in love with you cannot stand to be more than 10 meters away from you at any one time. It's just a fact.
That's what my marriage counselor said as well. I was actually just wondering on, I mean, she's quite a sort of a clean person. She just wants, like, do I take my shoes off? You know, I don't want to, you know, bring my dirty shoes on the way up past the pelvic wall, etc. And so I actually into the womb, you know, I don't want to, you know, my old dirty trainers.
You have sex with your shoes on?
We're talking about being in a public place in a bar. And climbing up inside the vagina from that location. Normally I'm wearing shoes and wearing like a, you know, something nice, a bit of a blazer or something.
Hold on. Are you talking about, let's be more practical here, maybe? We're talking very much in generalities, okay? Are you talking about, with your current wife, are you talking about progressing through the vagina, through the labia, through the lips, or are you talking about the progression once inside the vaginal wall through the cervix? Because that's very specific differentiation we need to make here with very different advice. You know, are you talking about the initial entrance, or are you talking about the entrance through the cervix into the womb and the uterus and the ovary?
Well, the main problem I've got is it's very dark. So I often don't know where I am. I get lost.
You're afraid of the dark.
Well, I'm not afraid of the dark per se. But I get lost and claustrophobic. It's a bit like cave diving. You know, when people go swimming in those caves and they're sort of crawling through nooks and crannies, then they get lost up in there. And, you know, it can be quite claustrophobic and quite daunting. Oh, we've lost Galactic Punks. Galactic Punks were listening. It's very unfortunate right. That I had to go.
I think you need to differentiate here, because with caving or cave diving, you always have a thin nylon string to take you all the way back to where you came from. And you also have a buddy system. There's always an accountability system. One person is always looking after you at all times. Whereas with this process of losing the virginity in a proper emotional way, right, that is a solo, isolated journey up through the labial lips, up through the vaginal wall and into the cervix, and eventually all the way up to the ovary. So I think you're making false analogies here as an attempt to rationalize the progress you've had with your wife.
Yeah, that could well be true. I often have a certain fear because I read about things like ectopic pregnancies where the egg germinates and grows inside the fallopian tubes. I don't want to be that egg. I don't want to get stuck inside the fallopian tubes, if you see what I mean.
So there's a limiting belief here. There's a belief that if you are the egg, if you become the egg, if you ascend up into the ovary, then you will become stuck. Now, why do you think you have that belief? Do you think it could be something to do with your daddy issues?
It could be linked to my late father and his incessant berating of me and telling me I would never amount to a cave diver. I'd never be a real cave diver like him. I could never crawl through a dark alleyway or passageway because I was less than a man. So that's a connection I've never made until just now, actually. That's quite relevant.
Yeah. Do you think that relates to your I don't mean small in terms of length. I mean in terms of girth.
Yeah, he's quite long and pencil-like. I mean, that's the main...
Hey, guys.
Oh.
I just want to say that just hello, and I'm proud to be here in this group discussion. I really like hearing Grover's... coming of age story.
Thank you, King Webby. I'm pleased that you could be here. I was wondering what your dating and sex advice, if you had one piece of advice for a young man who's on the scene, you know, he's going to clubs, he's dancing, going to bars, having dates with young women, you know, how would that man, what's the best thing he can do to ensure he converts that date into sex, full blown, raw, sweaty sex?
Hold on. Do you not think we should first ask whether Wabi has lost his virginity? Like, you're really diving in quite far and asking advice on very advanced topics. But I think the first thing to do is to ask whether Wabi has actually lost his virginity, not just on a physical level, but also an emotional level of his virginity.
Yes, I have. My emotional virginity was taken over by Do Kwan. It was a nightmare that I had about 2 months ago. It was extremely, extremely vicious. I felt ravaged and taken advantage of, but it helped me become a man. And as far as physically goes, I can tell you a story if you guys would like to hear it. It involves a high school boy, which I was at the time, being taken advantage by an Amazonian woman, if you'd guys like to hear that story.
I'd only like to hear that story if you really emphasize the size and the strength and the magnitude of the Amazonian woman, because I really like to hear the dynamic of a tiny, helpless guy and a huge, overbearing, strong bodybuilder, world-renowned strongman woman, right? That's what I like. I like the contrast. So please emphasize that in adjectives, and then you'll be allowed to tell the story.
Okay. Well, before I go into the explicit details, may I ask Grover if he's okay with this sort of content? I want to be inclusive to him as well. You know, I don't want to traumatize him.
Oh, no, this is, I'm perfectly at home with this kind of content. I actually go on with my VR goggles and I look up giantess porn with giant women looking down at you, like taller than a skyscraper and trying to crush you with their feet.
Let me maybe tell you something here, Wabi. Me and Grover have met up several times, and we met up under the guise of talking about DeFi, developing a protocol together. But inevitably, when we won't return to his apartment, when we had a few drinks, he put on the Amazonian porn on his projector, and we both masturbated to it, sitting side by side, focused squarely ahead at the images on the screen, not at each other's penises. We didn't even look at each other's penises once. We looked at the 7-foot Amazonian woman manhandling the tiny dwarf she was penetrating with her dildo, with her strap on, with pegging, right? We were very much into pegging. We realized at that point that we were perfect business partners because we both share a love of pegging.
Yeah, I didn't actually even remember you were there. I just in that moment.
I gave you Rohypnol. I put a flannel over your face and I made you unconscious because I knew that was the best way to advance and progress our relationship and to move forward to a shared space of understanding, a communal safe space of Amazonian worship and circle jerking.
King Wabi, please tell your story. Thank you.
Okay. Just to go into context, this story will take some time. So just viewer discretion might get very, very, very into detail. So anyways, here I go. So it all started when this is a real story, by the way. Like I'm not kidding. This is an actual story that happened to me as a young boy, 16 years of age. And anyways, this all happened. I was late to school one day. And I see this woman. I thought she was a teacher, to be honest. She was about 6'5". And myself at the time, as a young lad, I was about 5'8". So the comparison was huge, and she weighed a ton. Like I would say in the vicinity of almost 200 kilos. So quite a big woman. And she looked at me and she kind of smirked. And, you know, I felt kind of scared. I felt like, you know, she might get up and kidnap me and take me to a cave. And so throughout my school day, I was quite traumatized about the situation I almost got myself in. You know, I was put in danger. It was just me, her, and a puny history teacher who was about 4'11". And later on that day, I was looking for a telephone to call my mother. And there she was in front of the office yet again. So I asked her if I can use her phone. And she gets up, and I have to look way up. And she says, "Wow, I'm much taller than you." And I stutter, saying,
Yeah. I know. And then right after I call my mother to pick me up, she immediately demands that I give her contact information. Some way that we can get in contact. And she's relentless. I tell her I have no phone. And she says, by order of the Amazonian race, I order you, lest your life be at risk, for you to give me some form of contact. So I gave her my Facebook information. And once I got home, she started asking for my stats, how much I can bench press, squat, and deadlift. Now, at the time, I was a feeble young man. I was very frail. I couldn't even deadlift 150 kilos. I couldn't even bench press 75 kilos. I was frail. I was helpless in the eyes of this eighth wonder of the world.
Right. And naturally, she could bench press what? 150 kilograms, 325 pounds, at least that, something like that. Twice.
Yes. Yes. For repetitions. For repetitions, she did. And so the following day, she runs into me at the library and she says, "You're mine's and mine's alone." And so she takes my hands from the library.
Hold on. What? When she's at the library, what book is she reading out of curiosity? Is it a book of significantly greater intelligence than you?
Yes, it really seems so. And she was multitasking, using the computer at the same hand. You know, her hands were so large that she could.
Oh, he's become a listener.
Oh, dear.
No. I hope he's okay. He's having flashbacks.
Webby, I've invited you to speak again.
I feel like he was just about to open up. He was taking a long time to get there. Perhaps he's just building up to the story. You know, it's quite a deep personal story. And I really hope he comes back to share the ending, because we're all waiting.
I also hope he'd give more adjectives, right? Because I want to feel as if I'm there. I want to feel the size of the female, how she smells, her width, her girth. I want to really be there with her, right? Because this is my fantasy.
The main problem I've got so far with the story is I don't really feel the sense that she's much, much larger physically, and then also in more higher intelligence, in every way.
I'm feeling maybe she's about the same height. Like, he looks at her and he looks directly into her eyes, or they discuss the topic and they have roughly equivalent opinions, roughly equivalent intelligence. So rhetorically, they're kind of in a stalemate, right? Webby, I know you're connecting now, but you need to start talking a little bit more in terms of adjectives, in terms of her real size, in terms of her intellectual superiority, in terms of how she dominates you in every single way, every sense, in terms of volume, in terms of intellectual clout, in terms of everything. Please, just don't hold back here.
Something I'd encourage everybody listening to do is to purchase an Oculus Rift headset, VR headset, and you can go on and you can open up any of your favorite porn websites, and you can visit a genre which is called giantess porn. And what this is a gigantic woman the size of a skyscraper, and she's looking down at you, saying how tiny you are, and then she like jumps on you with her enormous feet. And a lot of men find that incredibly enjoyable, and to the feeling of the scale and the feeling that she's so immense.
Guys, large. I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay, well,
I don't know what
welcome.
Happened. Okay,
did you hear our feedback?
Yes, we took yes. Okay. Let me
more stress about the differential between your low intellectual status and her intellectual power, her genius. More stress about her size, the size of her vagina, the fact that her vagina can consume you whole.
Yeah.
Is he crying? It's gonna be okay, man.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm concerned about it. It's a little bit freaky.
Thank you. I'm so traumatized by the event. Well, anyways, after the library, she was grabbing my hand like some child. You know, I was barely up to
barely up to her chest. It was insane. I thought she was gonna put me in her backpack or something. I was
wait, hang on. Why was she grabbing your hand after the library? Please, can you just describe a little bit more about how that courtship, how that seduction started to progress?
Well,
I don't like.
Well,
why are we going zero to suddenly you're grabbing her? I don't understand.
Well, after I had helped her with her project in translation, she said, "Let me take you somewhere." So she grabbed my hand and we started walking somewhere, and I was absolutely terrified. And she was walking at a really rapid rate. Her legs must have been as long as broomsticks, you know. So I was actually running as she was pulling me, and all of a sudden, you know, we take the elevator, and she says how I've done it now, and I've really made her angry. And so
why does it's because you're walking slow?
Yes. So we instead took the elevator, and then she takes me to the rooftop of the school, and like the school was like 5 stories and we were at the top, like we were at the door to the roof.
So you were walking very slow and she was walking over twice as fast with her very long broomstick legs. And she walked all the way to the elevator in the apartment block. And then she took you to the roof. Now, why didn't you get off at your floor? Were you scared? Were you frightened? Were you scared of what would happen if you didn't follow her?
No, I did follow her. She dragged me. I was being dragged.
Dragged you by the neck? Like, how did she drag you exactly? Please just explain a little bit more.
By the wrist. By the wrist. And her entire hand engulfed my form. It was quite scary. It was terrifying, really. And
how big would you say she was, and how wide are her shoulders, and how deep was her voice? Please just give a little bit more description.
She was about 6 foot. She was about 6'5", and she weighed about 200 kilograms. And her shoulders were about 40 inches from shoulder to shoulder, and her legs were over 40 inches in diameter.
So each of her legs were wider than your waist.
Yes.
And attainment pulled extra tight around it.
Yes. Correct. Yes. Yes. It was quite a sight to behold.
200 kilogram woman. 200 kilograms. Now that is a really large woman.
Yes.
Extremely large.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yes.
Did you find that, was she quite vascular as well?
No, I want to know
her body fat percentage. What was her body fat percentage?
I would say about 30-35%.
Oh, so quite high. Not. Yes. She probably wasn't on steroids. She was probably fully natural, right?
Yes.
It's just a naturally very chunky, wide, yes, and enormous woman from a very... a lineage of maybe Dutch farmers or something like that. Is that correct?
Yes. She's essentially a giant form of Lizzo, the singer.
I'm going to have to look up Lizzo. I'm not familiar with that particular art.
Yes.
I'm also
right. I'm looking at Lizzo and I'm seeing a woman who is significantly fatter than that body fat percentage. Quite unattractive, actually.
Yes, and she's quite short as well. And
wait, how do you spell Lizzo? I haven't looked it up yet.
L-I-Z-O.
Hey, guys.
Say again. L-I-Z.
Two Z's, O.
Right.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
She's an African-American kind of chunky, curvaceous woman. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
King Webby.
Yes.
Can I ask
the topic of the space here is dating and sex advice.
Yeah.
Can you try and tie your story of being dominated by an Amazonian woman into...
All right. Okay. So basically... We're at the rooftop and then she pins me into a corner and then she lifts up her shirt and then she puts me under her shirt and then starts to smother me ferociously. And then she puts what seems to be like a basketball into my face and I start suffocating and thinking that I'm going to die. And by the time everything was said and done, I was just drained of everything. I was drained for my worth. I was treated like some plaything. I truly felt powerless.
When was the strap-on put into the game?
There was no strap-on. This does not contain any homoerotic stories.
King Wabi, this was not included. King Wabi, question for you. Is this how you envisioned losing your virginity?
Pardon?
Is this how you envisioned it, losing your virginity?
I can't understand you with the voice changer, sir.
Is this how you envisioned it, losing your virginity?
Thanks for using your natural voice.
Yes, I can't understand what he's saying. It's making it quite difficult, really.
Look, I think he's saying that based on your tone, based on the way you're speaking, based on your hesitations as you were speaking, it's clear that you made up this story.
This was not a made-up story.
From your heart. He's asking you, whether you can talk about really where you are, where you actually are, aside from all the fantasy and the fiction,
Wabi, can you
where you actually are.
Yo, Wabi, yes. So we're at the rooftop, right? Not the actual rooftop, but the door to the rooftop, and then she just ravages me.
How?
She starts taking off my t-shirt and then really pushing me down with her massive arms onto my shoulders, and then she starts taking my shoes off and my pants, and I'm wondering what's going on here. And then she does the same thing for herself. She takes off her t-shirt, and I'm wondering
that's not what Amazons do, man. They don't take off their own clothing. They just
try
directly to ravage you, and they don't give a shit about their own clothing. It's all about the domination of you. I've been with many Amazons myself, and it sounds nothing like that. I'm starting to agree with DC here. I think you've made up the whole thing.
I have not made up the whole thing, sir. I have not. I'm telling you what I witnessed.
Did you report this to the authorities?
No, I did not. I was too afraid of what might happen.
Did she threaten you? Did not speak up?
Yes, she threatened me.
Are you scarred from what has happened, or how do you feel about this experience in your life?
I feel like I made a great change in the world.
Do you now search for these type of women and try?
Yes. Do you now have this Amazonian phenotype as like a fetish for you these days?
I tend to not dehumanize the female race, no matter if they're Amazonian or not. I don't objectify them and you know, put them into a box. I appreciate women for who they are, Amazonian warriors or not. Or else, what have I done? You know, I would essentially be putting an elite human race into an object of desire. And that is a sin against my own life, which I cannot commit.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. Last question for you, Wabi.
Go ahead. Hello?
Listen, Wabi, I don't know what you're talking about, but the title of the space here is, have you ever met an alien, and what was it like? What was your
UFO encounter like? I have. Let me tell you a story. This actually comes from a visitation that I had. So I had a dream. This is real, by the way. I had a dream where I had woken up in my apartment about 10 years ago. I had a dream about that. So I walked into my mother's room and I opened the window and, you know, I look up at the heavens and I see Christ on his white horse with a sword and a scroll. And there are legions of other angels, and those reborn in Christ come down. And then I feel an evil presence come up behind me, and I turn around, and there is what you would call a gray, or in other terms, a Nephilim hybrid. You know, in Genesis 6, it talks about a third of the angels who rebelled coming down here to mate with females and they created the race of the Nephilim, otherwise known as the men of old, the giants, those of renown. And so I launch at this alien, and I start speaking in tongues, and I start crushing it with my bare hands around its feeble neck, and it disappears into dust. And the bloodlust that I felt, the true warrior spirit inside of me, felt amazing. So they're all cowards. They were all cowards. All of them. Every single last one of them. So that's how I met an alien.
Why? No. Okay, I'll play cynic. I'll play devil's advocate a little bit here. Why are all of your stories involving submission to a woman or submission of an alien? Like, you seem to be being dominated or dominating someone in all of your stories. Now, that is not the experience that most people have, right? Most people go about life and they're reasonable people and they get to know the characters in their lives. They get to know them. They talk to the aliens. They talk to the Amazons. They actually have conversations. There's the process of bonding and getting to know. But for you, all of your stories seem to be about like just being dominated or dominating someone. It just kind of stinks of fantasization, right? It doesn't seem real in the slightest.
Well, that's just the truth. It's wild, man. You know, I think maybe I helped Grover with his question. You know, we're all here for Grover.
It's good to remind ourselves of that sometimes. I think we forget that in these spaces quite often.
Grover, why don't you talk a little bit about your alien abduction story? You've told me in private on Zoom a few times. About DeFi and stuff and the way the alien abduction story is relevant to them.
Yeah.
The kind of ideas you've had and the way they've been implanted in your mind by aliens to help you with the development of Web3 decentralized economies. But why don't you talk a little bit about the actual experience itself from a subjective perspective, rather than just, as you've talked to me, the objective nuggets of information you've gained from these aliens?
Sure. I mean, I'll just give a little context so everyone is aware of my history. So I was, you know, my parents died. I was very young when they died, and it's sort of an accident. I don't really want to go over what happened, but I
was go over what happened.
Yeah. So what happened was we were on the Eurostar going over to France. You know, we were just on the train, and you might not know this, but there was an accident. The original Eurostar, which has been replaced now by Eurostar like V2, the original Eurostar train had a fire while it was traveling through the tunnel under the channel. This is between England and France, for those of you who are not aware of what that is. And the fire was started, ironically, by someone cooking their porridge for a bit too long in the microwave in the kitchen carriage, and the fire spread, and nobody really knew what to do, because, you know, you can't escape the train, and once it's underwater you can't open the doors to get out again. So
hold on, you're talking a little bit in third person here about kind of a nefarious stranger boiling their porridge in a microwave, but let's tell the truth here, it was you who did this.
I like to keep it like impersonal, because, as you say, you know, I don't really want to face up to the fact that I started the fire that killed my parents on the Eurostar. But, you know, getting back to the alien. So I grew up without parents, and then I was eventually adopted. But I don't really recall how the adoption process took place. All I remember is that I had just this single parent, and she was she looked like a normal person in many respects, but she sort of had this very large head, egg-shaped head, and an obvious wig.
Hold on. Was her head an egg in a very stereotypical geometric sense, or was it an egg at the bottom two-thirds of her head and then going upwards into a kind of a cone at the top?
No, I'm sorry. I'm crying. It's very, very personal for me.
Listen, we understand, man. Like, this is a safe space. It's a place of where people express their grief and their pain and their emotion.
Sure. All right. Well, let me just
express himself, Bobby.
You know, I was going to ask Grover, this story that he's telling sounds
not the right time to ask, but let him speak, man.
All right. So have you ever seen the movie Mars Attacks? Imagine the woman who is an alien, sort of dressed as a woman. My adoptive mother looked.
I've never seen it, but maybe describe it in terms of what you're seeing through your own eyes.
So I guess the best way to describe is sort of quite like larger than human eyes, and not just that, sort of no eyelids either, which really made the sort of impersonal look quite obvious. Quite a small nose. Imagine like a Michael Jackson type character with a huge brain. But of course, the brain was covered by a giant green wig. I mean, I'll see if I can find a picture of it for you.
So there was a deliberate attempt by this being to cover the size of her brain in order to fit in with humankind. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. If any of you want to see what this looks like, if you just Google Ms. Martian from Mars Attacks, that's the spitting image of my adoptive mother. Anyway, so I lived somewhat what I thought was a somewhat normal life for about 4 or 5 years. You know, I grew up with this Martian mother, and I didn't know it at the time, but she was performing experiments on me every single night for every single time I went to sleep. Yeah, I mean, have I ever met an alien? I mean, I knew one. They were my parent, my adoptive parent was an alien. And that's as much as I have to say on the subject.
Right. And how did this affect you on parents' evenings when you had to go to school with the parents to meet your teachers, and you were aware that even your parents, even your teachers knew that your parents were a different species? Was that embarrassing? Did that make you feel a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very English thing that nobody will say, like, you know, call a spade a spade. But everybody knew, even I knew, that my mother was an alien. And the way that she walked was sort of like a weird gliding, sort of like she'd wave her arms backwards and forwards, and she'd sort of just like float across the room. It's very clearly not human. But nobody would ever call it out, and not least of all me. It'd be super embarrassing, and for her, I suppose. So all my friends would make fun of me, and I had a very tough time of it. But getting back to your original question about blockchain and how this relates to Web3, which I think is what we're all here to talk about, I definitely learned a lot about finance, because on Mars they have a financial system. It's not really like our financial system. It's very different, and it's very similar to some of these blockchain primitives and protocols that existed already over here. Well, they kind of started there and worked backwards. So I mean, I learned a lot from her and from her calls to her bank, her checking account, that I wouldn't otherwise have learned. I really feel like this story, it's not got any backbone to it, and it's just too silly. So I'm going to have to admit something here, everyone. Well,
maybe you have to make it. I'm sorry, maybe you were going to do this already, but I think you need to admit the part that you've admitted to me already. It's the sexual aspect to it, the way you made love to your own mother, right? The way there was a kind of a data transfer that happened during almost a weekly copulation with your alien mother. Right, like you need to talk a little bit about this, the way that with normal human mothers, there's a kind of a social exchange of information, a loving medium of social interaction. But with your alien mother, there was much more than this. There was a physical kind of interpenetrative, interdependent, interbreeding and psychic exchange activated by the connection of your genitals.
Terra Spaces can scrub this part from the recording, I'm sure. It's really interesting.
Openly and honestly, please.
Openly and honestly, it's really interesting how a lot of people stereotype aliens from Mars specifically into saying they've got ray guns, they've got like UFO technology, they've got, you know, things that can destroy the planet and whatever. But really, you know, they're soulful creatures at heart. You know, they're not creatures of war. That they're just they just don't know how to interact with us. And so, you know, despite all of the bizarreness and the strange anatomical features of this Martian creature, you know, I came to love that Martian creature. And that's when our relationship truly blossomed. And the psychic part was probably the most intense. The psychic relationship is where I learned to
maybe be a little bit more specific here. Like, how old were you when you first had physical genital communion with your mother?
Right. Yeah. You see, I've been avoiding that kind of language specifically, and I think you can see that I'm doing that. I think that.
Listen. I think it would only take a very close-minded person to judge you on the age of consent based on human-to-human interaction. But in terms of aliens, in terms of your mother, you have a deep connection with, a deep lifelong kind of protective relationship with. She's nurtured you and nourished you your whole life. Like, I don't think anyone's going to judge you based on the age of consent here. I think you can be open and honest. I think people can appreciate that maybe things are a little bit different when we're dealing with a human and an alien, right? Normal ages, normal psychological ages of development don't quite apply. You can talk honestly and openly. Please just share exactly what happened.
Well, I have to say, you know, all of these things that I shared with you in private.
Grover, thank you for sharing your story. I really like hearing you speak about your experiences. Just wanted to give some gratitude.
Well, thank you, Abby. I appreciate you giving that gratitude. But no, I think you're Lungdow. You're mischaracterizing the situation. You know, genitals in that sense don't exist. You know, when you think of human genitals, that looks nothing like that whatsoever.
Can I just clarify here? I was talking for the benefit of others. I was talking to help others understand the initial perception of what the communion between two physical flesh beings might be, right? I was not talking as a kind of a accurate descriptor of the final act in its most true interpretation. I was talking about the initial subjective viewpoint of a human seeing the act for the first time and later being educated. I was giving you a kind of bridge to educate everyone. I wasn't trying to judge you in any way. Please don't hold back because you feel judged.
Thank you for your encouragement. I appreciate it. So really, what you come to learn when you're having sex with a Martian is that they're actually a hologram being controlled by the real Martian who's on Mars, clearly. The physical sort of hologram that exists on Earth has a few properties that you wouldn't expect from a hologram, such as an actual functional vagina. You wouldn't expect that from a hologram, but there you go. That's something that they have, and I think that's something we can all reflect on and learn from.
Okay. Aside from function, maybe you could talk about form a little bit, like the size of the labial lips and the kind of
frictional quality. Can I ask, what was the biggest takeaway from your experience? What's the one thing that you learned throughout the entire process?
Oh, yes. What is the one thing that I've learned? I think the thing I've learned from this whole experience is only microwave your porridge for a maximum of 2 minutes before you switch off the microwave, open it again, and just check it hasn't overflowed.
That's kind of porridge are we talking about? Like, how much protein per grams are we talking here?
Well, the problem is, Wabi, that porridge is just oats, really. So, you know, 40 grams of oats, you know, two grams of protein maybe. In there, you know, not much, but there's like zero fat. It's just carbs, you know.
So you're cutting. So you've been cutting recently. You want to burn off the bulk.
I don't think he's talking about macronutrients. I don't think he's talking about calories at all. I think he's talking about fundamentally the emotional connection with the female, his mother, the spirit of Gaia, the Mother Earth, the kind of enclosing protective force. And I think he's talking about the fact that if you scurry towards her, if you seek too much protection from her, then she will reject you, because part of her incentive as a woman, as a mother, is to allow you to develop your own autonomy, right? To head out into the world, to do things, to conquer the world, to deal with the chaos of the world. She does not want to mother you and protect you. She does not want to allow you to be in the microwave for more than 30, 60 seconds. She is incentivized not just to protect you. Of course, she's incentivized to protect you during the initial phases of your life. But more than that, she's incentivized to make you a real man, to deny you the distance you seek in order to allow you to develop a kind of inner sentiment, an inner strength, an inner an adaptability that allows you to handle the chaos of the world alone, without her protection, without her safety, without her coming and intervening and protecting you whenever you seek it. And if you cry sometimes, if you cry and squeal out for protection from her, she should not come. Because if she comes, she just fosters the kind of relationship that allows dependence to form, right? And I think, Grover, what you're really talking about here is the development of a true man, the way that the Martian female and her vagina, her holographic vagina, allows you to develop a kind of an autonomy in the world, a kind of individual spirit that conquers the world alone without her protection.
That's exactly right. I just wanted to point out something to Monotone Matt, who's joined here as a speaker. He's a musician and artist and a caller to Howard Stern. You have a grammatical error in your bio. You've put, "I do not tolerate bullies." There is no...
Oh, I know. I know. It's B-U-L-L-I-E-S. I chose to spell it that way.
Right. Well, that's incorrect. So I'm gonna,
I know it's incorrect, so you're not correcting shit.
Hey, Monotone Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about the shows? What were the Howard Stern topics you called into? Can you talk a little bit about that? Did you talk to Beetlejuice?
No, I never talked to Beetlejuice. All my shit revolves bestiality and shooting up crack cocaine.
Right. I know. It's. Why don't you talk a little bit about your life story, your biography, the major events of your life so far? Because nobody here knows you.
No, right? We're talking about aliens. I called it about aliens, mother effer.
Listen, man. Please, just okay. Okay. Let's retract that statement. Why don't you talk about your experience with aliens? What aliens have you contacted, and what experience have you had with them? Have you been aboard an alien craft? What have you learned from aliens?
Yeah, mostly grays come to me in the middle of the night, usually when I'm totally not on psychedelics, and they jack me off like profusely with telepathic wisdom. It's only telepathically. That's what I was going to ask Grover. Are all your experiences telepathic? Because all my alien experiences are telepathically. They telepathically master.
We're talking about that, man. We're talking about holographic and telepathic experiences only, right? So
mine are all telepathic.
Exactly. Why don't you talk a little bit about your first contact? How did the Greys, or maybe the Aryan kind of Hitler Youth, extra tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed aliens contact you for the first time?
No, it was the gray fucking aliens. They came into my bedroom at night when I was 16, and they started jacking me off with a fury till my fucking balls like blew up and exploded all over my face.
And how did that feel? How did that, was that a condescending feeling or was it a pleasurable feeling?
It felt like Satan ejaculated onto my face.
So kind of like an involuntary bukkake, is that correct?
Yeah, I always felt the Greys were like very satanic and they like to ejaculate all over faces. They like bukkake all the time. Bukkake all the time.
Right. And okay, so were you actually abducted up to a ship, or did the genital mutilation happen inside your home itself? Like,
Because there's a very clear distinction here, right? There are the beings who are abducted and taken up into crafts and sent on different travels around the cosmos. And there are also the beings who are directly mutilated within their own houses. So which one do you fit into?
Well, sometimes they took me on the ship and they put me in the stirrups, and sometimes they just fucked me in my bed.
Right. It sounds like there's quite a lot of sexual arousal on your behalf. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, they're fucking hot. They got big titties.
Right. What are your ideal size of alien titties?
They're like C-cup.
C-cup, and what kind of composition, what kind of texture to the actual grabbing of the breasts do you prefer?
Like, they're kind of gray, and they're like Play-Doh. Like, they're like grabbing on Mr. Potato Person's face.
Okay, so for somebody who's never had the experience of being sexually mutilated by a gray alien or a Aryan alien, what kind of advice would you give to them to make that first contact, to make that invitation for them to come down, maybe abduct you, maybe to enter your room in extra dimensional forms and to mutilate your genitals? Like, how would you advise people to initiate that first contact?
First, you have to pray to the baby Jesus gray alien. And then you got to pray to baby mother gray alien. And then you got to put the holy water all over your face.
Listen, I'm not sure we can trust the advice of this man, Monotone. I think that his grammatical error rules out any advice that he might give.
Grammatical error was on purpose, you fucking bastard!
Are you being a bastard? On purpose, Grover?
A bloody bastard!
I'm just pointing out that's really a black mark on any other advice that you might give in this space, which might otherwise...
It was on purpose!
I agree with Grover on this one. That's really bothered me.
It was on purpose!
Also.
Melted brain cell is on purpose, too! I spell that with an
Listen,
S hey, and not a C!
Monotone Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about your first sexual experience? Why don't you tell a story about your first sexual experience with a gray alien, how it unfolded in the present, as if we were directly there in the moment with you?
Well, first, Bobby put his wrinkled, gray, ugly finger inside of my butthole pleasure tube.
Wait.
He tickled my prostate.
Who's Bobby?
And, yeah. Alien Gray Bobby.
Look, Monotone Matt, you need to develop the story a little bit in order for me to be aroused, in order for me to get erect. I don't know who the fuck Bobby is. You're just talking from your own perspective. You need to talk about how you met Bobby for the first time, how your relationship developed, how you got to know him. How the fuck do you know Bobby's name is Bobby, right? This is a mystery to me.
I
can't get aroused when you're not telling me the full story.
I know his name is Bobby because we met in the Dumb Fuck Box, the coffee shop in America. And he said, hey, you look sexy. You got purple brown titties and you got a dry vagina. So I would like to fuck. And my name is Bobby and I'm a gray alien. I'm from another planet and I used to fuck your mother.
Wait, what are you implying here? That Bobby is your father? Leading to a vaginal birth from your mother?
Yes, Bobby is my grandfather. I'm my own grandpa.
So you're drawing an analogy here to the Jesus story, right? To Mary Magdalene, who gave a virgin birth to Jesus in the same way that your mother gave birth to you.
Mary Magdalene was the prostitute.
Right, and there's an analogy here. So your mother was an equivalent of Mary Magdalene, impregnated secretly by a gray alien and denying it to her whole social group, right? And then you have lost. Okay.
Correct, sir.
Right. I follow that. So how was your first breeding with Bobby?
I told Bobby that I thought he had a nice tight ass and I love them C-cup titties. And then I poured the dumb fuck bucks yogurt all over his titties and I fucking motorboated him. In the middle of the dumb fuck bucks.
Right. And how did he react to that?
He shit all over the floor and he squirted urine in my face.
And what the urine in your face, did that kind of did that bounce off your face and cover your whole body?
I was probably just on a ton of fucking LSD, like really pure fucking acid. I don't think any of it happened.
Oh,
right. And is this how led to getting the grammar incorrect in your bio?
Yes, it ended in a grammatical error that pissed off the queen, and her panties are now soiled.
I think that you're being defensive about this grammatical error, and in reality, you just need to
accept. I did it on purpose, you dumb fucker. I knew that it was wrong when I spelled it, and I spelled it wrong on purpose.
Wait, there was a little bit of a kind of a hint in what you last said, and that was reference to the queen. Now, many people say that the queen is a reptilian animal.
Yes. Right?
Now, what's your opinion on the queen? What species is she fundamentally? Is she a gray alien? Is she a reptilian? What is her agenda here on Earth?
I think David Icke is right, and she's a fucking reptilian. Even though I don't really trust David Icke, but I think he's right on that one.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think
people in powerful places are in the basement of the castle. The queen is laying lizard eggs right now.
I agree. I think the queen hires butlers specifically to remove the reptilian eggs that she hatches. Right. I think there's a reason that the butlers who've been surrounded around the queen have been her most loyal servants for the last 60 years. It's because the rest of them have been killed off, right?
Whoa, I don't know about the eggs, but you do know that it's a fact that the queen and her family, they have their shit. They put it in jars and they have people that take care of their shit. And there's like piles of shit in jars, like in their dungeons.
Can you elaborate more on that?
No, dude, I heard it on YouTube. It might have been censored now, but they kept shitting in jars, and like there's people that are paid to evaluate the feces and to see if it's a good quality or not and if they should keep it in the dungeon. I don't know. Something about keeping shit in jars. I don't know. That's what the queen does.
Yeah. So what's your price prediction for LUNK, the cryptocurrency?
Cryptocurrency, all cryptocurrency is going to crash and we're all going to be ruled by the fucking penguin. That penguin, he's a relentless motherfucker. Everybody's always putting attention on the Joker, but the penguin is going to freeze the world. We think global warming, but penguin's going to cause an ice age.
So what price of fluency is that?
The price of fluency.
Lunk. Lunk.
Look, Monotone Matt, you have to understand that we're here today to discuss the price of Lunk, Luna Classic, the cryptocurrency left by the destruction of the original Luna after the death spiral caused by the attack.
I think Luna Classic gonna be 10 cents in December.
Yeah. Well, since we had the Blood Moon, the Luna fucking currency is gonna be blood.
That already happened, Monotone Matt.
Yes, I was on acid when the Blood Moon came around. It was like over a month ago, and I was tripping on acid so fucking hard. I was screaming to Jesus for help.
Are you trying to draw this back to the actual topic of the chat here, which is whether smaller or taller women are better? Which is better for relationships and for one-night stands?
Smaller women are better very much better.
Yes, I agree with Luna. Smaller woman better.
Yes. Like,
if I'm 5'8", I'm a short motherfucker. 5'7" is the shortest I'll date. Like, the tallest I'll date is 5'7", because I'm 5'8".
You just said the shortest and the tallest is 5'7".
Because nobody wants to have woman like Big Mama.
Yeah, nobody wants a woman with a big schlong.
You know, there's nice.
Let's burn. Let's burn
a lot of Terra Luna Classic. I like when a woman
one at a time.
We need to burn Terra Luna Classic, and maybe the prices go up when the supply is very low.
And Luan Sidao, thank you for all your work, what you do every day to burn.
Yes, thank you very much,
my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
I hope your manager will have very soon him hair transplantation.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying my hardest to afford a hair transplant. But it's very hard because, you know, I need to get support. I need to get donations. People need to support me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very scared of needles. It's hard.
Believe me, bro, when Luna gonna hit 10 cents, I will pay this hair transplantation for your manager. It's no problem.
How can we send you money for an ale, host?
How much time does it take it to hit 1 cent?
We're getting off topic again over here.
How much time do we take it?
How do you pronounce your name? Siofan, is that correct? Sufyan, is that correct?
Sorry?
How do you pronounce your name? How do you say your name?
Sufyan.
Right. So what do you prefer, taller or smaller women than you?
Sorry, my English is not very good, but I'm trying my best.
Who speak in Netherlands?
Do you prefer?
Ik bedoel, wat heb je liever? Dikke vrouwen of dunne vrouwen?
Small woman, small.
Why do you prefer a small woman?
I don't know. I like it.
Because you can throw her on the bed, out of windows.
Yeah.
Because you can, if she disrespects you, you can throw her.
Yeah. But let's talk about our learning. First, we need money.
First, we need money to throw small women out windows? That's fucked up.
Yeah. Mute everybody, Cobustin speakers are busting the room.
Yeah, it's getting a little out of hand.
It's Cobustin.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's Cobustin.
What's that fucking noise?
Do you know Luna Stick? It's go very much up. It's now burning 150 million Terra Luna Classic. It's doing very well.
Bro, 1 billion, 1 billion is almost burned. And more is 1.6 billion is already burned. We need much more to have good results. Yeah,
but the price for is going up.
For this, Luna
Classic Army. I want to get back on topic. It's not really about the north or south with the woman. It's about the east or the west, in my opinion. Yeah.
The north or the south, the smaller the tall, the north or the south.
Yeah, you need to just have patience and wait for Luna Classic because it's very strong
drag size.
And it's going to be successful.
Yeah,
I don't want to get off topic.
Let's try and recenter ourselves. The topic here is how to create a successful TikTok. How to create from zero to become a TikTok celebrity. Now, maybe you could give your advice, Grover.
Sorry, what's that about being a TikTok celebrity? Yes, I am. I am actually a famous TikToker. I won't dox my identity. I don't want to get involved with that here. But I will say that the key to creating a successful TikTok is to just show a bit of us, you know, just show a little bit of cheek. You know, drop it and lock it, and then, you know, learn a dance, twerk, really, you know, show off what you got, flaunt your stuff.
Anus hole.
It's actually pop, lock, and drop.
You gotta show the starfish. Gotta show the starfish the anus hole.
Well, that's part of the bodybuilding routine that I, the posing routine, is the rear glute spread. where you demonstrate that your asshole is of sufficient pinkness.
where you talk with your anus? Do you sing songs? Do you do karaoke with your butthole?
Yeah, exactly. You talk and you give speeches and you give songs.
I love it. I love giving speeches with my anus hole.
Why don't you give the last speech you gave with your anus hole?
The last speech with my anus hole would be, fuck you, I ain't fucking you.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
What I would like to just raise in this discussion, hopefully I don't have to raise it again, is the importance of good grammar. I think that everybody should
guys have a question.
Good grammar should get
when Binance is going to do something about the one.
Bad grammar should get monotone.
Hey, monotone Matt, on behalf of Grover, can you please change your profile? Please.
Oh my god! I'm gonna have to type into Twitter to change my profile.
Whoa! Why are you? Are you making fun of my accent?
Are you making fun of my accent?
I'll let these two guys handle this one.
So, I think Mouse is just Lugdow has just taken the step to mute everybody in the chat, and I understand exactly why. I think we need to go back on topic, which has been always how to create a successful TikTok.
Katie, would you be willing to come up and speak a little bit about how you created your successful TikTok? Maybe we could also create a co-marketing opportunity for cross-promotion.
I was always enamored by the dancing culture on TikTok. And I think Lunkdao is missing a certain je ne sais quoi, a little something. And I think that perhaps Lunkdao should have a dance. The Lunk dance could go viral and spread the news about burning Lunk to millions more people. What do you think about that?
Katie, what do you think about that? I feel a little bit attacked because I only allowed Katie into this space if she would speak. No, she's not speaking. So I just feel targeted.
I definitely like the dance even, idea.
I don't have a TikTok. Never made sense to me.
Hey, yeah. Luan Fidao, you want to follow me on Twitter? I will much appreciate it, bro.
Listen, I'm gonna restart this space because I think that everyone has shared their opinion on Lunk and price predictions. And I think that we need to transition now into more of a kind of an emotional, spiritual space, right? I don't think that's the appropriate space for this being Lunkdao. I think Lunkdao is entirely for cryptocurrency and for earning money, for making gold, for becoming rich, all that stuff. I think it's the very inappropriate place for this. So I'm going to close this now, and I'm going to reopen it through Asparagoid on more of an emotional and spiritual level.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part Lunkdao Chronicles, recorded on Friday, July 29th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck a pumping double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes, and take the rest and turn them into free bait. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
I'll be wrecking. mission impossible. Defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and talk everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall. All hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject. So feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences about how they draw conclusions, find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray by certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.